wrote all the books. They were the ones who had all the tapes. Now they got all the DVDs. And I've seen Artie numerous times, but I have never seen them perform together. So I am really looking forward to this because I get to see the legends in person. And this is a rare treat because they don't tour together. And I just made a suggestion. They said, sure. And I said, well, why not indeed? Happy and Artie Trout.
Sebastian.
Oh, yeah.
We played at a 12th century castle in a place called Sarzana. It was pretty amazing, actually. It was kind of an old audience. It was a 12th century audience. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it was great. The amazing thing was the all pasta diet. All carbs all the time. Oh, back to you, Matt.
Yeah, can I get a little more vocal in the monitor, please?
A little more.
Thank you. So we're going to do a kind of a grab bag mix of things, and we have no idea what we're going to do. We're sort of thinking of them as we go along. But I thought that this song, I would try a blues that I learned years and years ago from my first guitar teacher, a man named Brownie McGee. Some of you may remember Brownie. I had the good fortune to be able to study with him back when I was in college, and then after we kept up and wrote a book together about his guitar styles. He was a big influence on me. A lot of my songs come from him and his tradition. So this is a song he taught me a long time ago. It's one of the few blues that actually tells a story. It's like a ballad in that way. And it's called Betty and Dupree.
Little Betty, won't you come? Hey, my.
first record on Captive Records. I mean, Capitol Records.
We got the
back when it was a record. Yes. It was still a record. And, we sort of came in between 78 and I guess what was the next thing? Eight track. This might have well have been on 8-track for the number of units it sold.
Collector's item, you can get it on eBay.
It's a true collector's item, it's true. And it played into our plan of becoming legends. We started that rumor way back a long time ago. We just sort of planted it in a press release. And then we found over the years that, although at first we tried to play really fast, fancy guitar licks, we found out that if you play something really simple, like just this, people go, yeah, he's pretty good. Decided that the less you play, the better people thought you were. So after a while, it was just like, wow, that cat's amazing. And then we thought, if we stopped playing all together, we'd become legendary. Didn't quite work. So this is the first song that I ever wrote, actually, and we haven't done it too much in a long time. It's called The Hungry Dogs in New Mexico.
Desert heat, they fight.
the Mitchell Coffee House goes back a long time, and the able guidance of Mike Agronoff and company has really done a remarkable job keeping it going. And it's one of the few resources that are left for traditional music and singer-songwriters. The world has really changed out there. And as you know, funding for the arts has been cut back. A lot of arts councils and theaters and small clubs have gone out of business over the years. So for kids coming up today, it's kind of a much more difficult atmosphere to get their music heard and off the ground. That is unless you put it on YouTube and it gets seen by 40 million people in an hour. But other than that, the occasional hit on YouTube or something, it's a different environment. So I, for one, really appreciate you coming out to hear us and supporting live music. I think it's really a great thing. So, thank you.
I'm going to do a song by a guy you may have heard of, an old blues singer by the name of Bob Dylan.
Thank you.
It's a song Bob wrote many years ago. I've been doing this for a long time.
I actually think Happy defined this song for Dylan. Before Happy did it, it was just another Dylan song. We're going to demand publishing soon. Especially if there are any lawyers here tonight who could use your help going after Bob.
This is Buckets of Rain. Thank you.
Thank you.
knocking down the walls. These border towns, they always beg me to be you. Well, if you would come and see me in this tourist town, I'd love you like a waterfall of trash and down. Pull yourself together, girl, and help me get a mess of smooth. Well, oh, Niagara, please don't make me go. My feet stop flying, you stop crying, and the water stops to flow. Well, I lose my mind every time I see that waterfall. Oh, Niagara, hear me call. Talking to the TV, I'm staring at the telephone. When those waterworks are working, girl, I can't stay. You know I need help, but I can help run away. And I can't quit, I'm thinking about you all alone. Well, oh, Niagara, please don't make me go. My feet stop flying when you start crying and the water starts to flow. Well, I lose my mind every time I see that waterfall. Oh, Niagara, hear me call. Thank you.
was collected by the Library of Congress, and it kind of predates a very similar song by Jimmy Rogers that you might know called Waiting for a Train, a really famous old railroad ballad. This one's called The Danville Girl. Thank you.
I've got those blue, those empty pocket blue. Money, 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 why can't I make the grade? I'm so broke that dollar bill took it big as a window shade. So I got barrels of pumpkin and bushels of ruby red rain. They haven't got you, baby, and they don't know how to sing. Got those blue, those empty pocket blue.
Thank you.
to do. And now's come my time to lose. This old night life, old little sport life, is killing me. Actually, it was around 1970, and we were looking for songs to do, and we had some friends that had moved to the area a couple of years before that were kind of, they became kind of notorious as the band. We were friends with those guys, and one day Artie was in a local Grand Union. Well, if you're in tune, you could tell the story. You told that. He was there at that point. I wasn't there.
Well, we had a doctor in our hometown, and he was quite an excellent doctor, actually. He went on to do some excellent work when he straightened out. But in those days, anything that was wrong with you, he'd give you something called Quaaludes. So I went to his office one day with the flu.
As you did every week.
Once I found out, yeah. And I don't know, he was a really good doctor, he still is a really good doctor, but he just said, here, take a couple of these tablets and you'll feel a lot better. I took half of one because I'm very nervous about pharmaceuticals. At least that was the cap point. And I just happened to get the urge to go down to the Grand Union supermarket and found myself in the cookie aisle, weak knees and a great sort of craving for Oreos. And I got one of those giant bags of Oreos and I just ripped it open and started munching on it. I ate about 20 of them when my knees gave out and I found myself on the floor looking up, laughing hysterically, covered in Oreos. And who should come along but Rick Danko and Robbie Robertson. And they looked down at me and said, "Hey, Artie, how are you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing fine." And they said, "What have you got?" And I said, "Oreos." Never seen two more disappointed men. So later that night, we went back and learned the song. Yes, he was more than just a friend of mine. It was so amazing how we got home. Then one day I went, had a crazy brain wave. Well, I lost my head, oh, I move along. Cause I'm going down the road to see Bessie. Oh, gonna see her soon. I'm going down the road to see Bessie Smith. And when I get there, I'm wondering what to do. Well, in my day, I made some foolish moves. Way back then, I didn't worry about a thing. Every now and again, I sit around. Yes, I wonder, was it her sweet voice or the way that she could sing? Yes, I know now, cause I'm going down the road to see Bessie.
Come and sing them old time blues. upstairs on the second floor. There's also bathrooms in the back of the cloakroom. There's food in the terrace room at the left end. You know, turn left at the lobby and go to the terrace room. Please don't bring food in here. You can't bring water in here. They have CDs, of course, and videos and instructional tapes and books and Lord knows what all else. Go spend a lot of money on their stuff. But the other thing that you need to spend money on is your conscience, because you got in here entirely too cheap. Those of you who are here for the first time are probably agog at a $7 admission. Well, it's actually, that's the come on. We rely upon your conscience to have you pay what this show is really worth. And the way that happens is this fishing creel, which has been around with us since almost the very beginning, is the receptacle for the difference between that $7 that you paid on the way in and what the show is worth. And you put that money in here, and we turn around and give it all to Happy and Artie. So that's how we can pay them what they're worth, and that's how you can pay them what they're worth. We'll see you in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We're going to try and start this thing next week. Next week's feature act is called Hot Soup. It's a trio of three women, which a trio of four women would be a very unusual trio. But it's a vocal trio. They do a lot of harmonies. They do a lot of funny stuff. And they're just a delight. Come listen to that.
My brother has kindly turned the stage over to me. He's a union guy. And ever since his days with Jimmy Hoffa, he won't be in no more than 20 minutes at a work shift. I have a new album out called Thief of Time, which no, was not dedicated to my drummer, but it's more of a philosophical statement. And one of the songs goes back to the 12th century. I'm sure you're familiar with this song called The Cuckoo Bird. And this is my arrangement of it.
Thank you. $10, I'll beat you the very next day. But the cuckoo, she's a pretty bird, warbles as she flies. Well, she never hollers cuckoo till the fourth day.
I'm back in the sugar cane.
There's something in the island there makes you wanna risk it all. You tell yourself you don't care as you fall. Ah, you've got to fall. Things are so much brighter now, now that we have rain. And I'm feeling so much better now, I'm back in the sugar cane. I'm back in the sugar cane. I'm back in the sugar cane. I'm picking shovel. Yeah, picking shovel. I'm down to the mine.
John back in the 1960s when he came to play at the Gaslight Cafe down on McDougal Street. And all we knew about John Hurt before then was hearing his scratchy old reissues of 78s from 1928-29 when he recorded some of the songs that ended up on the Folkways Anthology of American Folk Music. And to see this guy in the flesh, in person, was just a total thrill. And we got to hang out backstage. Well, backstage at the Gaslight was... Backstage is kind of a misnomer. Two people could barely fit in there, and it was an ice cream freezer, and one chair. And I remember John Hurt sitting in this one chair with his old hat on, sort of a sweat-stained hat, and his guitar in his hand. And about four or five guitar pickers would be crowded into this little space, just sort of asking questions and getting to play songs. And he must have thought we were just totally nuts. I don't know what he thought. He was just these guys just asking these questions. I don't know. But anyway, he was a wonderful guy. And after he passed away, I wrote a song in his honor, and I just called it Mississippi John. Mississippi John's long gone. We ain't gonna hear his old time songs. I may be right, I may be wrong. I gonna miss old Mississippi John. Well, I loved it so much that I can't tell. When he sang my Creole bell, rich land woman, candy man. No one could tell if my old John can. Thank you.
shine. I'm over mine. I'm going mine. My darling baby. My darling baby. My Creole bell. My Creole bell. My Creole bell. My Creole bell. I love her bell. I love her bell. My darling baby. My Creole bell.
Thank you.
moment in the golden age tour.
The moment when the banjo jokes come out.
Yay!
Anybody have any good banjo jokes?
Yes, I like that
one. It would be too hard to describe. You did it so well.
This is a song that was written in the same era as the last song. It's actually an old Catskill Mountain ballad that I wrote.
A song I collected while traveling through the Catskills, looking for original songs. I did, I collected from Happy. He lives in a deep holler. You weren't on that trip when we went to visit Doc Watson, but there was a time that Rory Block and her dad, Alan Block, and I and Stephen Grossman decided we would drive to Deep Gap, North Carolina to jam with Doc Watson. We thought, isn't that something he would just love? Have four or five hippies from New York City knocking on his door to jam, old fiddle tune.
So did he?
No, he wasn't pleased to see us at all. I tried to play a happy song, but...
It has so much feeling to it. People do make fun of it for some reason or other that it's hard to imagine. But it was the first instrument I think we both sort of noodled with because of Pete Seeger. And I remember Pete Seeger saying, oh, everybody can play the banjo just like walking. But it took us all a couple of years to learn how to walk. You know? And he made it seem so easy. I remember his book about Red Book that he had about how to play. Remember that? Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you a nice story about that book. I learned how to play from that, as did so many other people. It used to be a record on Folkways, a little 10-inch LP also that went along. And it was kind of the inspiration for all the instructional books and audio things that came afterwards. And I can remember back when I was in high school, sitting around with that book and the LP and learning how to play my first chords on the banjo. And as of about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Pete Seeger asked us, Jane and I and Homespun, to be the publishers of the book, because the former publishers ran out of copies, and he said, why don't you publish it? So now we're the publishers of the book that I first learned 50 years ago. Doing really well. Come out there. So here's a song I learned from Pete back a long time ago, and it comes also off of that Folkways of American, Anthology of American Folkways, Folk Songs record. Old Depression era. A song called Down on Penny's Farm. It's a hard time in the country, down on Penny's farm. When they move down on Penny's farm, plant a little crop of apple and a little crop of corn. Come around and see you gonna get that plot. And you get so old than everything you got. Hard times in the country, down on Penny's farm. Well, you can't afford a bushel, but you don't get a pet. Hard times in the country, down on Penny's farm. Yeah, short Penny's friends, they'll come into town with the hands in the buttons and the heads hanging down. Go to the store and the merchant will say, well, your mortgage is due when a week till I'll pay. Hard times in the country, right on Penny's farm. So step to the mouth with a trembling hand. Can't pay it all, but pay it what I can. Then to the telephone, the merchant gets a call. They'll tell you on the chain that you won't pay it all. Hard times in the country, down on Penny's farm. So come here, ladies and gentlemen, listen to my song. I'll sing it to your right when you might think it's wrong. They make a man, but it means no harm. It's just like the rent is on Penny's farm. Hard times in the country, down on Penny's farm. Come on, sing it again. It's hard times in the country, down on Penny's farm. Sing it one more time. Hard times in the country, down on Penny's farm.
Congress.
Yeah.
Tide by a guy named Barry, his last name. Go out and get it, especially if you're interested in the history of the Mississippi. This talks about the Great Flood, the Mississippi Flood of 1927. You're shaking your head because, and how the Mississippi flooded in 1927. And it is fascinating. And they tell some stories about the Delta area of Mississippi, which of course is where so much blues came from. And I highly recommend you get this book. And one of the things that always occurs to me is that southern heat that kind of you read about and that sort of is so much a part of our writing in our history, is the heat and the Spanish moss and all these images that come out of southern history. So this is a little song I wrote called The Rusty Iron Bridge. I said this road ain't going nowhere, cause the pavement's still too high, and the sun on the horizon seems to linger in one spot. Well, I'm standing by the river, I'm waiting for my baby to come. There's a big old owl sitting in a tree up on the ridge, and two old men are fishing beneath the rusty iron bridge. Standing by the river, I'm waiting for my baby to come. Well, even if I wanted to, and even if I tried, there's no place I go on this road. It's just too hot to walk, I'm too bothered to try. She said she'd come and meet me here to help me carry this load. She's gonna help me carry this load.
Standing by the river, I'm waiting for my baby.
Well, I'm standing by the river, and I'm waiting for my baby. Yes, I'm standing by the river, I'm waiting for my baby to come.
It was collected in the 1940s by a group of campers and counselors from a place called Camp Woodland, and right near where we live, near Woodstock, around the, what's called the Woodland Valley. And it's a really old song that's very unique to the Catskill Mountains, and it's called Friends and Neighbors.
Thank you. think it's strange. God be pleasing. I never have Robin. Neither have I done any wrong.
Because they usually wind up So, other than the James Taylor repertoire, is there anything anybody would like to do?
Rabbit's Luck.
Do a Doc Watson song.
Yeah.
Shake
your pal on your floor. All right, a Doc Watson song. That sounds good. I think we can do that. We'll try to do Doc justice with this.
Thank you. He was actually very gracious when we showed up at his house. He suggested that we go straight to his... I believe his cousin, Gaither Carlton, the fiddler who's on the early Doc Watson or Watson family albums. And we jammed with Gaither, this amazing fiddler, all night long. And then we sort of crashed out on floors somewhere, I'm not sure where. And in the morning, Doc came over and actually played with us for a while. Now, this is 1970 or something, so it's gone back a ways. That's my Doc Watson adventure.
Doc is now 83, and going strong. He sounds as good as he's ever sounded.
George used to sing in the birthday party. Yeah.
Thank you.
get hot soup next week at the minstrel, dirty birdies the week after. Don't forget the Creole.